ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So reading today from 7th canto, chapter number 10, entitled Prahlad, the best among exalted devotees, text number 39. Enaha Ena Purvakritam Yattad Rajana Krishna Vairinaha Jahustente Tadatmana Kitaha Pesakrittu Yataha Ena Purvakritam Yatta Rajana Krishna Vairinaha Jahustente Tadatmana Kita Pesakrito Yata. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Not only Shishupal and Dantavakra, but also many other kings who acted as enemies of Krishna attained salvation at the time of death. Because they thought of the Lord, they received spiritual bodies and forms the same as His. Just as worms captured by a black drone obtain the same type of body as the drone. Purport. The mystery of yogic meditation is explained here. Real yogis always meditate on the form of Vishnu within their hearts. Consequently, at the time of death, they give up their bodies while thinking of the form of Vishnu and thus attain Vishnu Loka, Vaikuntha Loka, where they receive bodily features the same as those of the Lord. From the 6th canto, we have already learned that when the Vishnu Dutas came from Vaikuntha to deliver Ajamil, they looked exactly like Vishnu with 4 hands and the same features as Vishnu. Therefore, we may conclude that if one practices thinking of Vishnu and is fully absorbed in thinking of Him at the time of death, one returns home back to Godhead. Even enemies of Krishna who thought of Krishna in fear, bhaya, such as King Kamsa, received bodies in a spiritual identity similar to that of the Lord. So we are continuing here the conversation between Yudhishthira Maharaj and Narad Muni. And we can see how it is that in this particular shloka, we actually come one full circle. Because the whole topic of the pastime of Prahlad Maharaj was narrated by Narad Muni based upon a question raised by Yudhishthira Maharaj at the time of the Rajasuya sacrifice, right in front of the assembled guests. Shishupal's head was cut off by the Sudarshan Chakra of Lord Krishna, and everybody could see that the soul of Shishupal merged into the body of the Lord. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was very astonished to see this, and he couldn't but ask a question to Narad Muni. So he asked Narad Muni, how is it that Shishupal, who had practically right from the time he could hardly speak, no other occupation except blaspheming Krishna, get such a liberation? And Yudhishthira Maharaj further asked that actually we see how King Vena, he was also so blasphemous towards Lord Krishna, Vishnu, and he had to go to hell. And here we find Shishupal is getting such an exalted position. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj tells Narad Muni that you know everything, so please, for our benefit, enlighten us. And then Narad Muni explains that it is actually because of this bodily conception of life that we make this distinction between praise and blasphemy. But for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, actually, everything is the same. What the Lord sees is only how attentive we are towards being absorbed in thinking about Him. And Narad Muni was giving several examples to see how devotees were getting purified through various ways. The gopis were getting purified just because of their lusty desires. Kamsa was getting purified because of his fear. Shishupal was getting purified because of envy. And Yadus were getting purified because of their familial relationship. And Narad Muni says that the Pandavas, were getting purified because of your deep affection for Lord Krishna. And we, the gentle devotees, Narad Muni puts himself also in the category of gentle devotees. He says, we, the gentle devotees, get purified on account of devotional service. So here we see that we have come one full circle, and then once again, Narad Muni is explaining how it is that Shishupal and Dandavakra were liberated just because they were constantly fixed in the thought of the Lord, although it was out of envy. So we see in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajit antakalevaram tam tam evaiti kaunteya sadatat bhava bhavitaha. In the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord is explaining to Arjuna that whatever we think of at the time of death, that particular body we will achieve. So this whole process of Krishna consciousness is the process of the art of dying. Like we have an organization which is called Art of Living. And just a few days back I was reading an article. Of course they are doing very wonderful service in terms of elevating a person's consciousness. And they are talking about how a person's consciousness gets elevated through breath control. And there is this particular mantra that is given to all the people whoever want to take advantage of. They are given the Sudarshan Kriya. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, elevation of your consciousness through breath control. How through various means of breath control we can elevate our consciousness to be remembering Krishna. But the Bhagavad Gita explains to us a much higher philosophy, which is not just the art of living, but the art of dying. This human form of life is the only vehicle that is available to us to go home back to Godhead. Because it's only a human being who has this ability to discriminate what is right and what is wrong. In the case of the animal species, they graduate through this 8 million species of life because they live basically by instinct. They do not have any control over their activities. But their progress is gradual until they reach the human form of life. And it is only in the human form of life where we have this ability to discriminate and act in a manner whereby we can perfect our life and go home back to Godhead. So in this particular shloka, Yam Yam Vapi Smaran Bhavam, Lord Krishna says that whatever you think of at the time of death, that body you will achieve. And the Srimad Bhagavatam gives so many examples just to prove this particular point. We all know that the Srimad Bhagavatam takes off from where the Bhagavad Gita leaves. Sarvadharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami masuchaha. The Bhagavad Gita concludes with this instruction to surrender everything to Krishna. And the Srimad Bhagavatam begins by instructing us that the only way to really progress in the path of Krishna consciousness is to be free from envy. Nirmat saranam satam. Like we see from the pastime of Bharat Maharaj. Now Bharat Maharaj was such an exalted king. He was a king of the entire planet Earth. And he had practically everything that a person could desire. Health, wealth, name, fame, glory, prestige, intelligence. He was so handsome. Very, very long life. Millions of years he had already lived. And yet one day he decided that he should relinquish everything and just go into the forest. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains that Bharat Maharaj was already on the stage of Bhava, practically on the stage of Bhava. And he was executing his devotional service on the banks of the Gandaki River, having bath 3 times a day. His hair was always wet. And he was intensely focused on meditating on Lord Krishna. But somehow, by the will of providence, he happened to come into the association of a deer. And gradually, over a period of time, Bharat Maharaj, who had relinquished everything in order to practice devotional service, became attached to this deer. And finally, at the time of leaving his body, he was having the deer in front of him, and all he could think of was a deer. So in his next birth, he had to get the body of a deer. So of course, there's no need for examples in order to reiterate the facts that are given in the Bhagavad Gita, because they are the absolute truth. The words of Krishna, who is the absolute truth, has to be the absolute truth. There need not be any examples in order to substantiate, but for the benefit of common people like us, these examples only reinforce the philosophy that is given in the Bhagavad Gita. And like that, so many examples we have of Bhishma Dev left his body in such extraordinary circumstances. He was a person who was given the benediction that he could leave his body as per his desire. So he was waiting for the appropriate time when he could leave his body. And just before he left his body, he gave such wonderful instructions to Yudhishthira Maharaj. So everything, of course, is ordained by the Lord. The war gets over, and then Yudhishthira Maharaj is brought by Lord Krishna to Bhishma Dev so that he could hear the instructions of Bhishma Dev. Very, very practical instructions. Actually, coming from a brahmachari, so many instructions about how to regulate his life and how to carry on his responsibilities as a king. And then at the appropriate time, Bhishma Dev decided that now I should leave my body. And similarly, Haridas Thakur. Now here was a person, Mahabhagwat. He was already chanting 300,000 names of Krishna every day. But because he could not bear the separation from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he decided to give up his body. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains in such great detail how Haridas Thakur arranged everything in such a wonderful way. First he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying that, I know that in a short time you're going to conclude your worldly pastimes. And I don't want to be here to see that. So please, it is my request that I want to leave my body before you. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes the next day, and then there's a beautiful kirtan. And Haridas Thakur takes the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, places it on his heart, and his eyes as big as bumblebees, he looks at the Lord intensely. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam. And meditating on the Lord, he leaves his body. And similarly, we see Gadadhar Pandit also. He was so much in separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finished his pastimes and departed. He was in so much separation that practically he was aging so fast in intense separation. And he was all the time serving his worshipable deities. And we all know the pastime, how the deities sat just in order to receive his service. Intense meditation. So the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita is absolute. And every one of us have this opportunity to apply this philosophy into our lives. Of course, today is the last day of this year. In one sense, a year has got no meaning for us because every day we are coming closer to Krishna. Anybody who is practicing Krishna consciousness sincerely, for him, every day he is coming closer and closer to Krishna. So what does 1 year matter? But still it is some time frame that has been decided upon. And although we are discussing over here the art of dying, majority of the people are not going to be discussing this today. In fact, they don't want to have anything to do with dying today. They're going to be discussing the art of enjoying. Right? How can we enjoy our senses today to the maximum? Today is the end of the old year and the beginning of a new year. And practically millions of people all over the world today or tonight would be engaging themselves in such incredible sense gratification. Every possible regulative principle would be broken today. Even those who are not normally habituated to be intoxicating themselves would find an excuse today to get intoxicated. And it is so sad that when we see people who are normally in complete control of their senses, who are otherwise very respectable people in society, but on occasions like this, they completely go off the road, so to say, and behave in such an abnormal fashion. I remember a few years back, I happened to be in a 5-star hotel the same time when there was the so-called New Year coming. So there was a party going on and people were getting intoxicated. And there was one person from a very, very respectable family. You could see that he was from a really influential and very wealthy family. And this person was so intoxicated, he was so intoxicated that he had passed out. He had become unconscious because of alcohol. And all his family members were gathered around him, not knowing what was happening. They didn't know whether he had left his body or whether he was about to leave his body. He was in such an intoxicated state. Alcohol is expected to elevate your consciousness. But actually it brings you into the deepest level of ignorance. People take alcohol because they think that it elevates their consciousness. They are able to perceive everything in a very refined way. They are able to appreciate the finer aspects of life if they are intoxicated. But actually it takes you into so much of tamagun. And more often than not, people intoxicate themselves to such an extent that they completely pass out. And today is a day where everybody practically, 99% of the population today would be engaging in activities just to intoxicate their senses through alcohol, drugs, illicit sex. And factually, although people are trying their level best to enjoy themselves today, actually there is so much of misery. Even in their so-called enjoyment, I remember once there was this, again, a New Year Eve party going on. Hundreds of people enjoying themselves in their own way, so-called enjoyment. And suddenly they get a news that two of their very, very dear friends who were coming on a motorcycle had met with an accident. And these two young boys, one was around 22, the other was maybe 1 year younger to him, had attended another party. And they had got themselves so much intoxicated that they could not drive the vehicle. And then they rammed the vehicle, the motorcycle, at high speed into a wall. And both died on the spot. So you can imagine, now here is a situation where all the family members and relatives had got together just so that they could enjoy and welcome in the new year. And that new year became so tragic. But still people don't learn. The next year, the same group of people got together once again to enjoy themselves on a new year. So how is it that people do not, in spite of experiencing this again and again and again, how is it that they do not learn? It's so unfortunate. Just because they do not have this knowledge, they do not have this realization that everything in this material world finally will have to end sooner or later. It's only a matter of time. The need for us to be Krishna consciousness is not tomorrow, which is the new year, but today, at this moment, because we don't know whether we are going to leave the next moment or not. Such a wonderful philosophy. A philosophy which actually explains everything that one needs to know about how to conduct himself in this material world. Right? If we were not knowing this philosophy, we would also have been behaving the same way that 99.99% of the people in this world would be behaving today night. Thinking that tonight is the new year and let us celebrate. So we are extremely fortunate. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have this opportunity to apply this philosophy into our lives. And to the extent that we are sincere, Krishna will reciprocate. Ye yatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. Mama vartamanu vartante manushya partha sarvasaha. Krishna is waiting for us to come towards him closer and closer. And every passing day, as we practice this process of Krishna consciousness, we are having this opportunity. We are coming actually closer and closer to Krishna. By hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, by associating with devotees, by chanting the holy names of the Lord, this entire process of Krishna consciousness, actually for us it doesn't make any difference. The old year, we are doing exactly the same thing as we are going to be doing in the new year. Right? Whether it is 31st of December or whether it is the 1st of January, we are going to be chanting around, we are going to be coming and hearing Bhagavatam class. For a devotee, there is no change. Right? People think that by the new year, there is going to be a change in their lives and they make so many resolutions. I am going to do this, I am not going to do this, I am going to follow this. But for a devotee, what is the change? There is no change at all. He just moves from one day to another day. For him, it's basically a 24-hour time span. And in that 24-hour time span, whatever he does in one 24-hour time span, he does in the next 24-hour time span. There's no difference. So for a devotee, there is no such thing as a new year. Yeah. Of course, it's an occasion for us to get together. It's an excuse that today evening we're going to be having a satsang program here in the temple. Opportunity for all of us to come together. But other than that, really, there's no difference between the old year and the new year for us. Because every day, we are practicing Krishna consciousness. So it's a great benediction that we have with us. So, also we see from the lives of great acharyas like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, our own Srila Prabhupada, the way he left his body in the association of devotees, all the devotees were chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. There was 24-hour kirtan going on when Prabhupada left his body in Vrindavan Dham. Whenever Prabhupada would go outside and he would fall sick, he would immediately tell his disciples, please take me to Vrindavan. I want to leave my body in Vrindavan. Right? That's a place where I would like to leave my body. Right? And towards the end, he did come back to Vrindavan. And in the association of devotees, when the kirtan was going on, he left his body. Completely focused on the holy name. Antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram. Lord Krishna gives us this assurance in the Gita that if we remember Krishna at the time of death, we'll go home back to Krishna. Right? So the perfection of life is to mold our life in such a way that at the time of death, we are going to remember Krishna. That's the perfection of life. And every passing year, we should enhance our consciousness more and more and more. That should be actually the resolution that we should be taking for this so-called new year. Right? Actually, we should be making a resolution every day to enhance the quality of our Krishna consciousness. But the end of an old year and the beginning of a new year is particularly the opportunity for us to make a resolution. So tomorrow onwards, I will chant a few more rounds extra. Tomorrow onwards, I will not fall asleep during Bhagavatam class. At least we can make this resolution, whether we actually follow it or not. That's not in our control. But at least we can make these resolutions. I'm going to chant all my rounds before, you know, Shringa Darshan. I get up early in the morning. I'm going to get up half an hour early in the morning. So, these are the resolutions that devotees normally make. Anything that enhances their Krishna consciousness. I'm going to read for at least 1 hour of Srila Prabhupada's books. Right? Even if you do it for a month, it's a great achievement. We may not do it. We may not be able to do it. If we do it for the whole year, it's fantastic. But if you're not able to do it for the whole year, so what? Even 1 month. Such a lot of benefit accrues to us even by one single moment of Krishna consciousness. It's an eternal benefit. Neha bikrama nasosti pratyavayona vidyate swalpam apyasya dharmasya trayato mahato bayat. Even a little bit of advancement in this path will save us from the greatest amount of danger. So, this philosophy is absolutely perfect because it's being spoken by the absolutely perfect person. So let us take this opportunity today to meditate throughout the day on what sort of resolutions we'll be making for the new year. Right? And try to stick from tomorrow morning onwards, from Mangalarti time, from 5 o'clock in the morning, let us try and remain faithful to those resolutions. So that is the benefit of a new year where we can make new resolutions or we can reinforce our old resolutions. Because for us, ultimately, the only goal is to remain a devotee. We have to remain a devotee till the end of our life. For us, there's no option. Right? Because there's nothing better than this. If there was anything better than this, then we can do that. But we know that there's nothing better than this. This is the highest, topmost Siddhanta. So the more we apply this into our lives, the faster will be advancement, and the more strong will be our determination to remain fixed in our purpose to make this our final birth in this material world. Somehow or the other, remember Krishna. Just like Shishupala and Dantavakra remembered Krishna out of envy. And Narad Muni is saying, it doesn't matter how you remember Krishna. Right? You can remember Krishna out of lust. You can remember Krishna out of anger, fear, envy, right? Great affection. So all these emotions, you can remember Krishna. And Krishna doesn't discriminate. So Narad Muni is giving us his assurance that Krishna doesn't discriminate. It's not necessary that you have to remember Krishna only by being affectionate towards him. And most of us, at least for me, I can remember Krishna only out of fear. So even that Narad Muni is saying is welcome. So we have hope, at least I have hope, some or the other, to remain in Krishna consciousness. So from all these examples, we can see that actually this philosophy is so perfect. So let us make resolutions this old year today to somehow or the other increase the quality of our Krishna consciousness in the coming year. We don't know whether we are going to survive the whole of 2009, whether we'll be there to welcome 2010, like we're welcoming 2009 today. We don't know whether we're going to be there to welcome 2010, right? Even 2009, sorry. Just shows that I'm an illusion. Govind Prabhu is reminding me that even 2009 we may not be there to welcome. Because we still have 15 hours to go for 2009 to come. Right? And anything can happen in 15 hours. You could be dead. So anyway, we can but try, pray to Krishna. Ultimately, it's up to him. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Comments? Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.